when the Obama administration transfers 12 terabytes of data to the National Archives and Records Administration, well, that'll underscore the importance of federal records and records management. For some of the issues all agencies need to think about, I spoke with Rob Effris of Effris Federal Advisors. He's a federal software policy lobbyist and sales expert. Review for us, what is the latest policy and framework for records management for the federal government? Because this is a very old issue, and yet it's one that keeps evolving.
That's true. The Obama administration released in late 2011 a memorandum on records management with the goal of seeking to increase transparency and to provide a government-wide approach to records management throughout the federal government. It established senior officials within the agencies responsible for that activity, as well as deadlines for when agencies would need to transfer all of their electronic records storage to a common format. The challenge with this policy has been for agencies to implement it as an unfunded mandate. There were no funds associated with it, and agencies have had a difficult time, not so much in regard to appointing a senior official or even moving toward a common approach to electronic records storage, but in general terms, the paper-based records are such a large part of the problem that addressing it on a government-wide basis with an unfunded mandate has been problematic.
Yeah, so paper is still very much a big part of records management, even though a lot of the focus in publicity and in all the stories is electronic.
That's very true, and the National Archives estimates that that paper trail is going to be with us, believe it or not, for the next 40 years or so. So what agencies have had to do is, in many cases, store those records in their own facilities. The real estate services firm CBRE has estimated that upwards of 35% of federal commercial office space is being used to store commercial records or temporary records, which, as you can imagine, is a very inefficient way to go.
Even law firms don't do that anymore.
That's true.
So is the cost element that is unfunded then the what it would cost to convert that paper to, say, PDF type of format where you could get rid of the paper or at least maybe store it off-site? Or is it the transportation of paper somewhere to a much less expensive storage facility or all of the above?
All the above, insofar as taking those steps, would actually reduce the cost. But because records management has a relatively low priority in the scheme of things, agencies are reluctant to change how they are doing business with regard to temporary paper records. Now, some agencies have taken a more aggressive enterprise approach, recognizing that millions of dollars can be saved on an annual basis by taking a more best practices approach to getting those records out of commercial office space and doing so in a way that increases transparency and accountability.
I mean, you drive down any highway and get out of a city, you see these trucking warehouses that are the size of 4 football fields. It seems like a tilt-up building like that with some air conditioning would be providing the storage for a tenth the cost.
Well, you raise another issue, Tom, and that is there are federal regulations which require the buildings to meet certain codes relating to humidity and fire retardancy, et cetera. And the underlying problem with all this is that when agencies store records in their own facilities, not only is it a costly way to go, but those records are being stored in space that is not consistent with the regs promulgated by the National Archives.
And let's move on to the email question, because that's an electronic format that has become very much, well, in the news and the political realm. But still, at the prosaic level, most agencies understand how they have to handle email. What is the latest thinking on how to do that?
Well, agencies, under the leadership of their CIOs, are taking a much more proactive approach on the electronic communications and baking those requirements into enterprise IT architectures, including the migration of many government applications to the cloud. So there, more traction is being achieved because it falls more squarely under the auspices of the agency's CIO as compared to the traditional records, which are receiving a much lower priority.
We're speaking with Robert Effris, founder and CEO of Effris Federal Advisors. Now, does email have to go to the archives also at the end of administration? Or, I mean, there's White House records, and then there's regular agency records. How do people make that distinction?
That's correct. So there are certain retention schedules and policy directives relating to the permanent records, as you refer to them as presidential records, and those that are temporary. And agency record managers have to follow that National Archives guidance in a way that differentiates between the two. And at some point, to your question, all of that shifts over to the National Archives, particularly in regard to the permanent records.
What's your sense of how good agencies are at this point?
Agencies are climbing the learning curve in regard to the electronic records. The deadline of the policy is 2019. The agencies have been undergoing self-assessments as managed by the National Archives. And while agencies don't like to suggest that they have a long way to go, when you read these self-assessments, it's clear that there are some agencies that are doing better than others, and they're all working toward that 2019 deadline, which is, you know, a couple of years away at this point.
And that raises two technology questions. There's been a really strong push toward cloud activity for federal agencies. It seems like off-site cloud facilities would be a natural for storing all of these types of records. Even for archives to start using it. Do you see cloud coming into the records management picture, perhaps as it seems logical that it should?
I think so, particularly in regard to temporary electronic records. You still get, though, this concern, particularly in the DOD and intelligence communities, as far as on-premise versus off-premise. And I think, though, that on a broad brush basis, there are moves within GSA and others to try and bake into specs involving cloud-related acquisitions that address the record-keeping elements.
Because even in a cloud, it doesn't necessarily have to have on first-tier storage. It could still be third-tier for records you're not going to access very often.
And yes, this is very true, but I'll tell you, Tom, the interesting thing is that you still have, on the temporary record side, agencies like the Federal Bureau of Investigation developing $100 million plus record storage facilities. And so while on the one hand, the migration to the cloud is here and it's a mega trend in the federal IT space, you've got still a big financial commitment being obligated on the part of federal agencies to paper-based storage. So that problem is not going away anytime soon.
And my second technology question concerns automation of all of these processes. Why hasn't the tools industry, or how would you rate the tools industry with respect to its ability to provide automated tools that conform to the rules, federal record-keeping rules, that this could all be offloaded to some kind of a system that doesn't take all this manpower?
And I think those tools are available. And in the electronic archiving space, there are a number of vendors out there currently providing those services. And as I said, those the level of those services and their traction within federal are much, much greater than any similar efforts to modernize paper-based records.
Rob Effris is principal at Effris Federal Advisors. We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.